Blog Talk Radio.
Attention all union members. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, all union meetings are now canceled. All union member rights to govern the union have been suspended. Stay away from the union office. Do not attempt to question elected leaders or company managers. Shut up! Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay away from the union office. Dues will be extracted from your paycheck, and you will not question where the money is going. Anyone caught discussing a strike, slowdown, sick out, picket, or meeting with union members without permission from elected leaders may be trolled online, mysteriously fired, and their grievances may be lost. Remain calm. Do not fight unfair company policies. Your union rep will be by to explain how you cannot tell the company how to treat you or maintain the best possible working conditions. Anyone caught sharing information from the union, labor law, the contract, or local bylaws without permission of the elected leaders will be humiliated. Remain calm. Do not strike. The number one enemy of progress is questions. Withholding information is more important than knowing the truth. All obedience to elected leaders and management will proceed as normal. No union member may post on Facebook without permission from the union office. Read only the information given by your elected leaders. Shut up! Obey all orders without question. The contract we give you will be ratified. Be happy! At last, everything is done for you.
Peace, everybody. This is Brother Eric. Hope all is well. And we have a guest host. I'm going to put you off of the mute. Guest, who is this guest? Hey, guest, we have you. You're live. Go ahead. All right. Well, you know what? I got you live. And if you want to just join right in, you. Oh, I think I heard something.
Yeah, I didn't know. I'm not really a host. I'm just dialed in.
Oh, well, you've been recruited now, so.
Okay.
yeah. Yeah, we have no collective bargaining agreement for you, though.
Oh, Eric, it's Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey.
Welcome aboard.
Oh, thanks. We might get somebody else.
Yeah, it'll be a big old party. Hey, how about that Amazon, those Amazon workers?
Yeah. Well,
what'd you think of that action?
I think they're really courageous. They hardly make any money, and they're being forced to work in close conditions, I mean close to each other. And people have been diagnosed with the virus, and they're working for the richest man in the world and getting really low wages. So what they've done is really good, and I just hope that that it grows, and the meat packers too.
Yes, and what is it with the big? You got New York City, You got Chicago. So New York is the number one biggest transit agency in the country. Chicago comes in at number two. What is it that all these people have died and gotten sick, and the smaller agencies, when one person gets sick or dies, many of them go on strike and they get what they want. What's going on? Why is that?
Well, I'm not sure, but I'm sorry, I'm eating. Well, in Detroit, they had some kind of walkout, and that's the ATU local. And maybe it has to do with Detroit being under so much attack, with the water being shut off and high unemployment and homelessness and the destruction of the city, the racist attacks against the working class of Detroit, maybe it's easier for people to see the truth. And they lost a bunch of their pension, I believe. And the bus drivers, other bus drivers that have been on strike, some of them are school bus drivers, and they aren't making as much money as New York and Chicago are.
Right. So some say it's if you make a higher wage, you tend to have less motivation to take action. Is that accurate, or is that just a myth?
Well, I think it's kind of accurate today because people are afraid. I think more fearful of ending up in the lower wage group. When the auto workers used to have industry-wide strikes, I believe they were some of the highest paid workers, and they still struck. But I think today there's a much more confusion and a lack of class consciousness. People don't. Like a lot of our coworkers, I don't think they feel the unity that in reality we really have with the Amazon workers and the McDonald's workers, people making, you know, $15 an hour or less, making less than $15 an hour. So I think that's a problem.
You know, I noticed you know, we got a little message on Facebook from our president of local 308, and he talked about, you know, an initiative that he's going to go on to have a Zoom conference call with the board. You know, didn't say the members, but he said he would think about it. But interestingly, he said that no one in the message. He said no one has perished. No one died. And I thought to myself, well, okay, if you mean by local 308 that no one died, yeah, okay, that was reported. It was reported. But what? We aren't with 241. We're in the same contract. We follow the same rules. We're on the same payroll. So if four or if two people die in 241 and one of them dies in local 134 and local 9, that's not us. It's like are we just local 308? That's all we care about. We don't care about local 241. We don't care about Amazon workers.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they want people to believe.
And
did you hear me?
And I mean, how does that affect us if we think like that? Where well, that's 241. That's the bus. How does that benefit? Who does that benefit when we think like that?
Yeah, not us. The company, the company in the city, and the ruling class.
Yeah, it's like it's just really a shame. I got word today that someone was ill at one of the Brown Lines. The someone was ill at one of the Orange Line stations, and that station was basically that kiosk where the station agent, the customer assistant was located, was shut down in order to be sanitized. And the worker was allowed to stay on duty, but just at another station. I just got word of that today.
Oh, who was that? A coworker?
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to mention specific on the air, but, you know. And then I got another word that at one terminal, the train operators are not allowed to take any cleaning supplies with them. They have to go. There's only a certain amount of disinfectant, you know, the foam disinfectant. So they keep it up in the break room in that area in the office. And so the operator has to go all the way to the office to get the spray to clean the motor cab, and then they have to go all the way back and put that stupid can back.
Well, that's unbelievable. That should be something that people could organize around. That's just crazy. The city's got enough money. CTA, they don't have enough effing money to buy more spray bottles or make their own or get them from the supplies that we have. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's really bad.
Yeah.
Hey, something else, Eric. When you were saying about how the union pushes the idea that, you know, like what Ken said, well, no 308 members have died. And then you mentioned the 241 members and somebody from another local. But what about all the people in the city? There's a lot of people who have died. And I think that most of us would agree that the public transportation is the way that the virus has spread throughout the city. So they want us to just only think about ourselves. And that's how come we got low-paid part-time jobs. They used to tell us, oh, don't worry, it's not going to affect you. They said, you're a full-timer, it's not going to affect you. So that's how they want people to think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real problem because our trains and buses, you know, as one brother told me, he liked to call it a pipeline for the virus.
Right.
You know? And yeah, and we're trying our best, you know, to be sanitary and safe and on time and all that stuff. But it's impossible if you don't clean that operating area every time you change. Like if I'm a bus operator or a train operator, if I'm sitting in that spot or standing, after I'm done, someone else is going to go in there. It's got to be sanitized for them. And then the passengers are getting on. Now, the passengers don't have to pay fares now, okay? But they're getting on the bus, and they go and sit in a spot where someone else might have been sick.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And they're just spreading it around, and people, and then, you know, people get upset at all these riders on the bus. Why aren't you doing this? And they're all homeless and whatever. Wait a minute. You know, there are people that want to go to work, and there's people that are homeless. It's really not their fault. And they're going to be more homeless people now, right? I mean, we're going to have a lot more homeless people now.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think that the media attacks the politicians are going to try to win the working people to blame the homeless people for, you know, the spread of the virus. And, you know, I heard it on NPR. They were saying that, you know, 308 complains about the homeless people on the trains. And
and can tell people to call the police. You know, if you can't get them off the train, call the police. Instead of, why can't we fight for housing for the homeless? Or at least frickin' say it. You know, the union doesn't fight for, doesn't really fight for anything. So I hope we're not just being negative here, Eric. Maybe whatever terminal, whatever terminal is having that issue with having to go all the way to the clerk and get the spray and spray it off and bring the stuff back to the clerk, whoever that, whatever terminal that is, they should put something about that on Facebook maybe and make a big fuss about it. Oh, maybe they are making a big fuss about it, but there has to, I mean, they got to do something about that.
And you know, and it's I wanted to go, you talked about the how our problem in public transit is not exclusively us, and it's very much connected to the people who live in the area who aren't in public transit, right? Homeless or not, right? I mean, we're all connected. And I noticed, I've been really studying these bylaws that we're supposed to follow as a union, okay? And there's this thing called the preamble, and it says that we have to ensure harmony and promote the general cause of humanity and brotherly love. So if you want to talk about, isn't that something?
So,
Kathy, here I am, a local 308 member, and I'm thinking, oh, screw them people on the buses. I just care about my unions. Screw the people, the electricians, and the signal maintainers, and the iron workers, the nurses, the Amazon workers, the Target workers, the homeless people. No, no, you're supposed to promote. You're supposed to be promoting brotherly love and a general cause for humanity.
Yeah. Well, the union talks like they support all those ideas, but they don't. And I don't know, you know, when the Fight for 15 stuff is a good fight, but it should be more than 15. Dollars an hour, and it's the AFL-CIO, and our secretary treasurer, she was all for it, fight for 15, blah, 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 but the union doesn't fight for the full-time, the part-time members that we have to get higher pay. Anyway, the union's going to say they support all that stuff, that good stuff in the bylaws, but they don't. But it's a good thing to point out to people.
Yeah, and it's like, for those of us that care, we can prove that we care for the right thing, because they can't say, well, you're just making it up. That's not the union. That's not what we're supposed to do, you know. And so my argument is, well, if you claim that you work for us, you know, well, then you should be following these principles, you know. But we have to organize, and you know, when these train operators and whatnot and the janitors are unable to do their job safely, there is no way that the rules allow them to work. Even the company's own rules don't allow you to work in an unsafe working condition. And the Midway 4 showed us that, you know, and on April 8th.
Yep.
And you know, the Amalgamated Transit Union published a legal bulletin about the right to refuse unsafe work. You know, it's like the only thing that we see promoted is, well, wear your mask, keep your social distance. But we're not educated in the reality, in the rules, in the law. We're not educated in that you can refuse unsafe work. You don't have to die when you come to work.
Right. But the Midway Four really showed a lot of courage, because most people, I think, they're afraid that they might lose their job. And the union leadership, the elected leadership, doesn't really encourage people to not work if it's unsafe. So that makes it hard for people, because people are scared. And if they could, if they could get some more of that sanitizer at that one terminal, force the company to get it, or maybe force the union to bring it, they can buy it out of their own damn pockets with all the money they're making. They got plenty of time to drive everywhere and find a bunch of it if they can't find it at the store near their house.
Right.
Because they're going to be back
right
there. They're going to be back here in November working on the trains, I believe. I sure hope so. And the virus is coming around for round two. They'll be out here with us. Yep.
It is. It is. And we the sad thing is that our union on the rail side, 308, we only got about 140,000 in the bank, you know, and that's pretty bad, you know. You know, that's pretty bad for a union of our size and in the second largest transit agency in the country, you know. And they don't like when I talk about it, when I tell people. They get very angry with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't care, you know, because it's just the truth, and people need to know the truth, you know. But we have to make that union stronger, but we're not going to make it stronger, you know, sitting around begging and waiting. Waiting. Can you believe that in that message yesterday? We're going to wait and see what they're going to do.
And hope we get some of that money. That's what he said, hope. Hoping
they
do the right
thing. And we're watching the money. What the hell? That money's really nothing compared to what they really owe us for sacrificing our lives. Especially the part-timer workforce, the apprentices. I mean,
yeah.
We got these co-workers of ours, Kathy. They clean the buses and the trains, and they're working at about around $14 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
They are cleaning these things,
mm-hmm.
and.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes they got the PPE, sometimes they don't. And the cloth masks, they got these cloth masks that our union leadership said, well, we're getting you masks. We're making sure the management's giving you masks. But they're not N95.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, we're reusing our N95s. We're buying our own. I was telling coworkers, you know, keep the receipts. You buying this stuff, you should keep the receipts and grieve it to get paid
mm-hmm.
back at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I wonder what's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back with the members to finally take a stand and do something, you know, like a walkout, organize something. I believe that in the past when they had those two strikes, people did come to the union meetings, and that's when they voted on the strikes and spread the word, even though the union officials were against it. So maybe it's going to happen after this money comes and people see people are going to get any of that money. It certainly won't be much if it's anything. And the contract, it's probably going to be the worst contract ever. I don't understand where people think the money is coming from. The cities and the states
are going to be in big financial trouble. They're not giving money to CTA workers. They've been steadily lowering our wages and benefits for over 20 years. So I just don't understand why people think we're going to get some money, or you are going to get some money. I guess because people just really want it. I don't know. Maybe that'll be the straw that breaks the camel's back, or maybe it'll be the virus coming around again in the fall, and the same shit that's happening now is going to be happening then. There won't be, you know, enough PPE, you know, so I don't know.
And I'm glad you brought up that contract part, because, yeah, I have absolutely no faith in what our elected leaders are giving us or doing regarding the contract, because there's no information, and the information we do get is conflicting. You know, like the
right.
last, you know, so
Go
we
ahead.
Have to, I, you know, me and a couple others were talking, and I just decided, let's just do it, is we made our own, we started our own workers' contract. You know, it is an open source contract where we can take apart the one we have and make a brand new one. And then when it comes time that we can, you know, start going outside and doing stuff, we need to start mobilizing action and mobilizing our coworkers to demonstrate and to start pushing back in these unsafe working conditions.
Yeah. What does open source mean?
So that means anybody. That means anybody can access the contract at any time, and put in revisions. It's like Wikipedia.
Okay.
You know.
Oh, okay.
Now, of course,
that's
if someone wants. Yeah, I mean, if someone wants to be malicious, well, that can all be undone. You know, but you know, we want something where everybody, all ages, all groups. Even if you don't work for the CTA, maybe you have a good idea. You could put it in there, you know?
Oh, I don't know if people are going to go for that. Maybe they could read it, but, you know, people who don't work for CTA, but people aren't going to put stupid shit in there. They just are.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of racist people. Yeah, it's not going to be helpful. I don't think that's such a good idea, but people should be allowed to read it. And one thing for sure, the contracts are written in weird ways, legalese. You can't really understand what it means. And a lot of that stuff is kind of ambivalent. You know, that's why the company can manipulate the terms of the contract to mean something else than what we think it means, seems to me.
Yeah. Yes. And you know what I want to do? I want to keep going on this, but just for the live broadcast, I just need to announce that this is not an official union event, an official union sponsored radio show. This is merely by union workers who care about their union. If you want the official union word, make sure you contact an union officer at the official union office. Thank you. And we're going to keep this going.
Okay, wait a minute, Eric. And then you should add at the end, and then they can get the official runaround.
And the official runaround. We'll get back to you later. The official
right.
get back to you later.
Or you could come to the office. You can come to the office and read it. You can come to the office and look at that, but you can't take it.
And you have to make an appointment.
Right.
You have to make an appointment.
Or I don't have that information available right now. Oh, you're still coughing.
Yeah, this, you know, I'm doing better. You know, this COVID-19 is nasty. It's really bad, you know. So, every day is a progress, a little bit of progress. But, woo, I never had a cold, a cough so long in my life.
Yeah.
You know, and imagine all of our coworkers who have it and are sick from it, you know, and they're not sure about their pay. It's so sad, you know, and and I wish, you know, our union elected leaders, I wish they would be more open with us instead of every time someone has a problem, they say, well, call me. It's like, okay, we'll call you. We'll talk to you one-on-one, but we got 10 other people who have the same question, you know? And they should know, right?
It would be good if they published the numbers, like how many people in 241 and 308 are out with COVID-19, how many people are getting paid, how many people are doing that ARC thing, you know.
Yeah. And you know, it's if they're not able to get the information from the CTA, then maybe that could be an unfair labor practice, but we could still, you know, protest it. You know, we could still protest it. We could still organize around that because it helps. It actually benefits the riders, the workers, and the CTA if people know what's going on.
Right. And
it
Ken
really
likes
does.
To be on the news. Ken and Deborah, they can get on the news and talk about that. How many people are not getting paid that are supposed to be getting paid, and the CTA won't tell us? You know, they have to know. I just can't believe that the union doesn't know.
Oh, it's so frustrating. You know, in New York City, I was listening to the TW100 Fight Back, their unofficial union meeting, and they're saying the same thing we're saying. It's so sad, you know. And they have more union officers, of course, because they have more workers, you know. And some of their officers are outright oppressing the members and telling them stop, don't do any injured on duty workers' comp claims. It's too much paperwork for us.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that awful?
Yeah.
You know, and I noticed that our president of Local 308, he actually shared with us information from a lawyer encouraging us to go to workers' comp, you know, when we're sick. And, well, of course, I made sure I, you know, let people know about that and looked into it myself. And that's a positive thing, but the rest of the union officers don't know about it or they're not talking about it. So it's confusing. People don't know what to do.
Right. Right. And there's so much paperwork. And if you don't follow this step or that step, you could end up screwing yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. And then they get upset. They actually get angry with us when we try to help each other and share information. It's astonishing.
Right.
And they're always posting, make sure you contact the elected union officers only.
Right. And that's a mistake. People should contact. Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say, people should contact each other and find out what did you do? Are you getting paid? And find out the people who are getting paid correctly and do what they did.
Yep. And because our union officers are discouraging us from talking to each other, we're not even sure. We're like scared to talk with each other. It's obvious. You know.
Well, I don't know. On the job, people talk to each other all the time. They're gonna talk all the time. It's just if you're not on the job, you gotta call people. People like to talk. I believe they are talking to each other. Maybe the new people
might
not know. Yeah. Well, Eric,
I think I'm going to go.
Well, thanks for being a co-host with us.
Yeah, I'm glad you did this. Hopefully people will listen. And I hope you feel better soon. And
thank you.
And thank you. Yeah, thank you for all the stuff you do and for being so tireless. So that's good.
I'm trying. We're trying to inspire other people to step up too, you know? And they are.
Right.
They are. People are stepping up.
Yeah.
People are stepping
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Well, all righty then. I hope you have a good
afternoon.
All right.
Thank
there.
You.
Thank
okay.
you. Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye. Well, that was Sister Kathy from our retirees and very militant, radical co-worker. And it's always important that we listen to each other. And in order to make change, we have to be radical. You have to be militant. You cannot make change by just being rolled over. You have to roll along and not allow yourself to be made into a victim. So we have some bylaw proposals, by the way. Yeah, that's right. The Justice Coalition gathered ideas from a number of our coworkers, and we put it into what's called the Operation We Are the Union. It's very important that we do reform our union. Some of the bylaws are very antiquated, and they actually they are like obstacles to democratization of our union. They are not obstacles for those who are corrupt. And in fact, some of the bylaws encourage corruption. So we have a group of us have carefully gone through the bylaws to correct some of those corruptible bylaws. In the description of this video, this radio show, you will find a link for the bylaws proposals. We need people to sponsor them and to work on them to try to refine them. We have written them all up according to the way they should be done. But what you're looking at in that link are just summaries. So we need more volunteers to help get these bylaws sponsored and then put them forward whenever we're going to have the next meeting. Our union officers have shut down the meetings and have disregarded our pleas to have online virtual joint 241-308 meetings. Again, like we mentioned earlier, what can you do? What can you do? We have lots of coworkers that are frustrated about unsafe working conditions. There's various rules. There's our contract, Article 1.1. It dictates you must be working in the best possible working conditions, and you cannot work in unsafe conditions. There's also the legal brief from the ATU that explains how to refuse to work in unsafe working conditions. There's steps, there's a process. It's not complicated at all. Make sure you check it out. That's also in the description of the show. In Milwaukee, transit worker and a steward were fired because they talked to the media about unsafe working conditions on their buses. The word is the Amalgamated Transit Union International is intervening and helping restore their jobs. But that happened today. today, our union officers had their own virtual meeting. They had a virtual board meeting. And we congratulate President Franklin for taking the step to do that. However, because a lot of unions are not doing it. However, we do encourage him to open up mass meetings, emergency mass meetings every day at various hours for all of our coworkers so that we can have the opportunity to democratically direct our union. Within the workers is the solutions. The solutions for our problems and our actions are not in the individual. It's in the group. And once the group starts bringing up ideas, we build on each other's idea, make it strong, and make it so that everyone can get behind it, or many people can get behind it because they have a stake in it. How can we fight back? Illinois state law, as it stands, does support, if you look at Section 17, it does support mass action. The striking is allowed, except if you work in the prison system, or you are a paramedic or a police. However, there is a process for that. Wildcats are not allowed in the rules. However, wildcats do happen. The fact is, around the country, just in this pandemic, we've had about 140 wildcats around the country. Temperature testing. Some of the temperature testing you're hearing from our union officers and management, there's temperature testing going on in garages and terminals. Right now, it's a pilot program. And it's not very consistent at this time. They're just testing it out, we suppose. Only issue is they're testing you. So if you're at 100.4 with a body temperature, you'll be excused from work without incentive, with pay. You will be paid. It's very important, however, that you consult with a lawyer before you go off sick. Contact a workers' comp lawyer, and this was advised to us by President Franklin, and it's something you should look into right away if you're sick. Scientists have said that the average human body temperature has actually gone down, so 100.4 is actually too high. We put an article about that in the description as well. Please read it. Your union leadership know that 100.4 is too high. It should be at least 99.4 or thereabouts, according to Harvard Medical Journal. New York City shutdown. Why are they shutting down, or are they really shutting down over to clean? Yes, they are. I put a link for what the New York City Local 100 Fight Back Coalition is saying about it. It's not all that it looks to be. The governor is allowing it to happen because of pressure. There's too much pressure on him from the workers, from the sick people, from the survivors, and he's capitulating to that, which is good. But the bad thing is, in order to do that, they need to hire more, and they're hiring more non-union workers. This is very dangerous, very dangerous. As unions, we have to push for 24-hour deep cleaning, sanitation. However, we have to insist union bargain for jobs in order to protect their livelihood and those who come after them. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this unofficial joint local 241-308 meeting. I hope you found it informative, educational. Be sure you share it with others. Peace.